Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Mistress Carrie, weekdays 10 to 3 on WAAF. Podcasts are always online and on your schedule at WAAF.com.
We're commercial free. It's a WAAF Workday Blitz 2. It's Mistress Carrie until 3 o'clock. And I thought they were going to be here an hour ago. It's my fault. I got wires crossed. But Jay and Scott from the Rival Sons have now joined me in the WAAF studio. What's up, guys?
Hi there.
Oh, just having a good one. We're playing tonight at the Royale.
Yeah, you guys sold out the Royale tonight.
Yeah, we're really excited about it. Love coming through Boston. And, you know, it's a real... Boston's got a real different energy and a different vibe altogether. Looking forward to playing for everybody.
Well, we talked just a couple weeks ago.
Yes, we did.
Because I was getting ready for the big marathon. And
pre-marathon.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you very much. Yeah, did you guys run through Boston today? Did you go for a little
jog? No, not yet.
Jog?
No, I don't get out of bed. And, you know, I got up early just to do this.
If this
you notice,
early?
When we walked into the studio, we said good morning.
Yes, of course.
Yes, I did notice
it
that, actually.
It is definitely morning. Yeah, you know, we're on a different schedule out on the road. But I'll be hitting the River Charles today. Love that dirty water.
Yeah, I was going to say, going to run along the dirty water.
Yeah.
It's a nice run, actually. They were doing a lot of training runs for the marathon down there, too. But you got to make sure you run down Boylston Street so you can cross the finish line, because the marathon finish line's still over there.
I'll learn that one day.
Yeah, just run down there with your hands up like I did and then burst into tears just like I did. You'll be fine.
Oh, no, I'll be crying the whole time.
I almost did. It's a little bit different from Nashville because you said that that's where you're living now. So.
Yeah, I live down in Franklin. Nice running out there. The weather's really peak right now. It isn't too hot, and you know. And I was hoping it was going to be a little bit warmer today, but I'll take what I can get.
Yeah, see, now on Monday, they told us it was going to be gray and raining, so we dressed for it. Then the sun came out, and it was hot and humid. And then halfway through the marathon, it started raining and got cold again. Mm-hmm. And so people were just dying.
Yeah.
We were very unprepared. Mm-hmm. So you guys are headed to Canada after tonight.
You just reminded me of that a minute ago.
Yeah, yes. I bring it up because the rapper Kodak Black was trying to get back into Canada to come to Boston, and they busted him with weed and a gun at the border.
Yeah, you should have those things waiting for you on the other side. Don't
I just
try to cross
wanted to
with
warn
it.
You guys to make sure that you weren't packing or anything when you tried to get up into Canada tonight.
I'm going to leave all my guns and weed in Boston.
All right, I just want to make sure. If you want me to hold them for you, I can do that. I got a safe in the office.
There are things that I have to get rid of before we cross the bridge. My rare... illegal breeds of dogs and my Komodo dragon.
Oh, no, I thought we decided we got a license for the Komodo dragon.
That fell through.
Okay.
They're actually closing that island because people are stealing the dragons.
Yeah.
They're
gonna, I heard this.
Yeah, that the people, what do you do with a Komodo dragon? Where do you keep it?
You know what? I'll tell you what the problem is.
Small children, I don't know.
The problem is you remember when like Walt Disney... when Disney came out with 101 Dalmatians, well, it really screwed up the Dalmatian...
Yeah, so, everybody
you know, the
wanted
breed,
one.
Everything. So there's all the backyard breeding, all the theft. And, you know, the same thing happened with other subsequent breeds, television, you know, pit bulls, the Rottweilers, all of that stuff.
Lassie.
Doberman Pinschers, everything. Well, you know what's going on. You got Game of Thrones.
Oh, so people want the dragons.
Everyone's trying to steal dragons.
Yeah.
They got dragon fever.
Do you guys watch that on the tour bus? Are you sucked into it?
Oh, hell yeah.
Really?
That nerdy shit. That's awesome.
I tried to stay away from it forever.
Sorry.
Where is that thing?
Did I pay for that one?
Yeah, you're paying for that one.
Shay told me I could cuss as much as I want on there.
Before we got on there.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Anywho, we got dragon fever too. I stayed away from Game of Thrones. Up until this last year, I was really like, no, everybody's doing it. I don't even want to know, you know, what is all of this weird stuff, dragons and all of that. And I finally got really sick over Christmas, and I was bedridden for a couple of days.
I binged
the entire series.
Yes.
And I get it.
You get it now?
Yeah.
Sesame Street came out with an awesome video. They put Elmo in one of the videos.
Yeah,
and made it look like he was actually part, and they were tagging it with like spoiler alerts for Game of Thrones, and it's just Elmo takes over the Iron Throne. So spoiler alert for anybody that watches Game of Thrones. It's Elmo at the end.
This is really sharp.
Well, we were talking when you called a couple weeks ago about the album. And it's called Feral Roots. It's out now. You guys released it on this limited edition. Was it pink vinyl?
That was straight pink.
Yeah.
We did pink vinyl.
Do you have a meeting about the color of vinyls that you want to release? Because the pink one sold out.
Amazingly, we've only done the really debated about it on like Record Store Day stuff where we decided this Record Store Day release should be this color specifically and the cover should look like this and it should work together. All the other ones, like when we were with our old label, they pretty much, we did one for every territory. Like in throughout Europe, so there was like 15 different colors.
We're getting there though, you know, the record.
This one we didn't either.
It hasn't been out that long, and you know, there's a couple of different variations in color that you can find.
Record Store Day is really cool. With all of these bands releasing all of the stuff that you can only find in small record stores. Here we have a chain called Newbury Comics that does all of the Record Store Day deals and stuff. It's very cool.
Yeah,
and the fact that people are into vinyl again is awesome.
I love it. I've been collecting since I was a young teenager, and I think that watching vinyl come back into vogue, instead of it being like, man, you know, now it's lame because everybody's doing it now. No. It's only getting
cooler.
Cassettes
are not going to have a renaissance, but vinyl
does.
You're wrong.
No, they are. Yeah,
they warp so bad and sound like crap.
But they're convenient
and
durable.
People would say vinyl scratches and they break and blah blah blah. You know,
you remember like in your car when you first got a CD player in your car?
Oh yeah,
it was It was very different because you could throw cassettes on the floor or whatever, have a bag of cassettes. But then when CDs came along, it was like, oh no, these get scratched, and then I can't play it. You got to take care of it in a completely different way.
Yeah, but my copy of Operation Mindcrime in a heat wave in July in my hot car, Jeff Tate's voice never sounded the same.
No.
Did I just totally nerd out on you just then?
You know how badly I want to do it.
What? Go ahead, do it.
I'm not going to do it.
Jeff Tate's voice never sounded the same.
Well, I want to play something off of Feral Roots, but I don't want to play the song you guys are going to play. So I'm going to play the new single, which I want to ask you about because I have a working theory about music in general and rock and roll specifically, that if women weren't bitches, rock and roll wouldn't exist. I think this song fits into that. Am I true or false?
Well, there's a lot of dudes out there that are serious bitches, too.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah. Yeah, you run into them.
Yeah.
Girl artists need to write songs, too.
Yes, of course. you know what? I think that having that heartache being intrinsic to the happiness or the sadness of anybody, you go through things, unrequited love, scorned lovers, all of that stuff. It's always been a hot topic for music, you know, and for literature, it's period. You know, you could open up the Bible or any, you know,
any old
quote sacred book or whatever, and there's
blame
always
it on
you know
the women.
Well, there's always all heartache and all of that. It's part of being human.
Well, this is the new single from Rival Sons. This is called Too Bad. It's WAAF. That's Too Bad from Rival Sons. Jay and Scott from Rival Sons here in the WAAF studio with me playing tonight, sold out Royale show, and that is off of the album Feral Roots, and you can totally hear the influence that we were talking about of being, you know, around Nashville and the sound of the album, but it sounds fantastic.
I love hearing that. Thank you very much. Yes.
No, but I think it sounds very old school. Like the drums are big. It's very warm. A lot of modern music, especially if it's you know, digitized and stuff, it just doesn't have that warmth and that soul to it. And
I understand.
It kicks ass.
Just as you said, you know, if there weren't, if women didn't act bitchy or if men didn't act bitchy, then, you know, you wouldn't have such good songs. I think that you're talking about a lot of modern bands and the sounds of their records. I think if you didn't have bitch bands, you couldn't have good ones.
Yeah, see, there you go. but it's a whole, you know, I've been talking to a lot of bands about this because I feel like there's a resurgence of rock and roll. I feel
there
like
is.
Artists are bringing back the guitar, and I feel like part of the love of rock and roll and what makes it special is that it's imperfect. And I think that it's that, it, you know, that you can pull it off live and that you can kind of get into the experience with a band as opposed to, you know, you go up and you see a DJ or a pop star that just plays to a track and that it's not real. And it's not
a festival. I won't mention any of the names or anything or bands or any of that, but it's very much like seeing a DJ because in that way, a lot of stuff was on tape. It was really weird.
Yeah.
They're a band. Like, they're up there. They look like a band.
Yeah.
I mean, they, in their own way, they look like a band. They have guitars and drums, and they're singing, and like it should be very organic. But then you're seeing a lot of people not moving the way the thing sounds, and you're going, wow. That's a problem with music in a way. When you got people up there playing instruments and it's all on tape, that's weird.
Yeah, it's like you want to be in the moment with the artist. Like, that's the whole point of going to see a live band. Otherwise, you can just watch it on YouTube, and
you
it's
know
not
what?
Special.
And I think, just like what Scott and you are talking about here, music is one of those, like, sacred, it's one of the last sacred things that you're watching it being homogenized. And look, it's always been that way. You can go back ever since records have been made.
Oh yeah,
you see the like really safe, really homogenized music being made. But when you go and you see these bands, for us, when we will see them on stage, it's insulting because it like it's supposed to be sacred, it's supposed to be real. And when you see someone just really just acting instead of making music or really expressing themselves, they're acting like they're expressing themselves. That's even a greater crime.
And then you see actors like Bradley Cooper that go up on stage at the Academy Awards and actually do it live and pull it off.
Yeah, right. And I think it's all well and good. If there's bands like this and there's an audience for it, good for everyone.
Yeah.
It's there.
Just go and experience live music, though, and appreciate a band that can pull off what they put on their album live.
Yeah.
It's music is supposed to have flaws in it. That's part of what makes it human.
Yeah, exactly.
Keeps it that way, you know. Right.
Which is why we love having bands come into the WAF studio, because when you have, you know, an album that you spend all this time and all this money making perfect, and then you come into the studio and you strip it down acoustically, it gives it a whole other vibe altogether.
Oh, we are all about flaws.
Let's get ready to make some flaws, Jay.
Yes. We've been playing Do Your Worst for a long time, which I told you I was going to put in my marathon playlist, and I did, by the way, so thank you very much because it helped. But excellent. You guys are going to play that now acoustic,
yeah,
and I heard you
too.
Warming up, and it sounds amazing.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right, are you ready to do it?
Let's do it.
All right, it's the Rival Sons live in the WAF studio. Wow, that was fantastic. Do Your Worst, Rival Sons here in the WAF studio. Somebody texting in says, that is already a great song, but it's even better acoustic. You guys are fantastic acoustic and stripped down like that.
Thank you.
No disrespect to the bass player and the drummer who are not here.
That's all right.
Those guys never get they never get the respect, the bass players and the drummers. But you guys sound fantastic.
I really appreciate that. Thank you.
And I feel like I need to give you compliments on your exemplary facial hair. You don't see waxed mustaches often, but you pull it off, sir.
It's fake.
Is it? Yeah. You have mustache extensions?
Yeah.
You just put
Halloween costume.
You put it on for special occasions?
Yeah.
In the morning, he cranks his ear and it comes out.
Yeah. I usually tell people it's like Groundhog's Day. I shave it every night.
And then it just grows back again?
The next day, it looks exactly like this.
I wish I could get my hair to grow that quickly, but it doesn't.
I love the hair color,
by the way. I appreciate that. Thank you.
That's cool.
My mom wouldn't recognize me without it anymore.
And
it's
I did
been purple
notice it
so long.
With the shoelaces, too.
You like that? I get the matching Chuck Taylor shoelaces.
That's sharp.
Yeah, I have a matching motorcycle and shoelaces. That's how you know I'm a girl, and I've accessorized way too much.
Very good.
So Rival Sons playing tonight at Royale, and that song, Do Your Worst, really kind of took the band to a whole other level. You've been a band a long time, and then all of a sudden that song comes out, and it's like a totally different thing.
You know, we've been doing this. We've got this our seventh record, and each record you're trying to put your best foot forward every time, and you're just trying to see what you're made of, what the band's made of, you know, individually and as a collective. So we're always doing everything we can to make write the best songs, perform it well. I think with this record, we were fortunate to be able to turn in these songs and to have a great team, you know, over at Atlantic and Elektra, and everybody putting these songs out where they needed to be, where you guys would hear them, you know, and for stations like you and people like yourself, lifting it up and trying to put it back in the big leagues, you know, rock and roll is making a resurgence. We're really thankful for your help.
It ain't going to happen without you guys. That's
no, absolutely
right.
Absolutely not.
Well, a lot of people thought with the internet, when Napster kind of hit and people were downloading illegal music and all that, that they questioned whether you needed record labels and a band could just have the internet. But what a lot of bands realized is that everybody had the internet. So the internet was flooded with all of these bands, and there was almost too much to go through to try and find the good ones, because there's a lot of bad music on the internet.
Yeah.
A lot of bad porn, a lot of bad music.
Yeah.
And then when you find the good ones, you go, oh, this is fantastic.
Yeah. And I mean, there's still plenty of good ones that radio and labels aren't going to go to. And I think in this day and age, you don't need a record label. You don't need radio. It just depends on how far you want to go with
right.
things and where you want to be with it, you know. But certainly if you want to achieve a certain level of success, those two very important outlets are just... They're just that. They're very important.
Well,
people still listen to radio, and record labels still
have connections. God, I hope so.
Yeah, yeah. It's
on a different level now, you know, with, you know, you look at the internet and all that it's done to all but bury the music industry as it was known to be.
Right. It had to be reborn in a way.
But now, because of the internet, it's put the power into the artist's hands. So it depends on what level you're at, but from the ground level, you're able to start a career as soon as you have recordings. That was never possible.
And I love that.
And because of that, now, you know, people will bellyache all the time. There's no good music anymore. You know, it's all this.
No, there's a ton of good music.
There's more than ever.
Yeah.
There are more artists that are inspired to create music because they're not facing a 200-foot wall they got to climb over just for people to hear them.
They don't have to sell music out of the trunk of their cars and hand out flyers on the street corner like
they used to. Well, they do, but when they first get started, just to try to get a small audience going or to get some kind of recognition, because when an artist is starting out, getting that little bit of a leg up and knowing that somebody likes it, that gives them the inspiration to go forward. And that, like, that first part of an artist's trajectory is so important. But now they get that.
That's a good point.
Like that it gives them confidence to keep writing,
absolutely.
You say? Okay,
absolutely.
I understand.
I mean, just even the idea of how easy it is to record now. Like, you know, if you're a Mac person, or even if you're a PC, I don't know what everyone's using, but like they give you a GarageBand, or Logic and stuff like this. This is revolutionary.
Yeah.
Think about it. 20 years ago or whatever, recording studios was like a multi-track studio. That was like NASA. Nobody understands that. Nobody has access to that. It costs a lot of money to do that. Now it's there. Everything's there. It's very a lot easier than it ever was, and it's creating a lot. We have people releasing albums just made in GarageBand. That's amazing.
And I love the fact that now the music is kind of going back, like what we were talking about with the sound of this record, is that it's going back, even though you have access to all of that technology, it's going back to kind of the beginning sounds of rock and roll. And I bring it up because my favorite song on your album is a song called Sugar on the Bone, which I just love this song so much. And it's always one of those deep tracks on the record that I always seem to find and go, okay, this is my favorite. And whether or not it ever becomes a radio single, whether or not you ever make a video out of it, you find that one song on an album that you love and you go, oh, yes. So I have to ask, is it a woodblock or a cowbell? I need to know.
I think it's
both.
No, is it a cowbell too?
No, you know.
I think it's woodblock.
Cowbell.
How do you guys not know?
No. I think he's
I think it's cowbell.
I'm going to ask the audience because I'm going to play it and they can text in at 97107.
You know, now that you mentioned, I'm pretty sure it was Gene Frankel that we brought in to play the cowbell.
Yeah.
It's the same guy who played on Blue Oyster Cult's famous hit.
Shut up. It is not.
Yeah.
It is?
He wears the fade sunglasses. You've seen the video.
Yeah.
I got a fever.
Really?
He's pulling your leg, Boston.
Yeah, I got it. All right. This is Sugar on the Bone. This is Rival Sons. It's WAAF. See, I told you that was a good song. That's Sugar on the Bone from Rival Sons here at WAF. The debate rages on the text line, whether it's wood block or cowbell. Can you guys give me a straight answer, for God's sake?
It was a car fender.
It's cow block, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. Well, that's my favorite off the album Feral Roots, which is out now. And I would tell you to get the pink vinyl, but it's sold out and you can't get it. So you got to go find it on record store.
They're going to make more pink vinyl. I don't think it was a limited edition thing. No more pink, but there will be another color we'll do for sure.
You know what? I'm sure that there is some troll that bought a bunch of copies.
That wants to sell them
living
now?
In his mom's basement.
you can get it.
He's going to just jack up the price astronomically.
Can you make purple for me, please?
I like purple.
That would be great. Well, I really appreciate you guys coming and hanging out with me today.
The pleasure is all mine.
You're playing at Royale tonight, and then what's the plan for? I know you're going to Canada after that, but are you going to tour through the summer, or what are you guys doing?
Oh, we're going to be on the road indefinitely. We've got, festival season coming up this summer. We got to go to Europe, all of that stuff.
What are some of the festivals that you're excited to play?
What are we allowed to talk about?
We've got Bonnaroo.
Just tell me everything.
Here in the States.
It's really terrible.
In the States here in Tennessee, we've got Bonnaroo coming up.
Yeah.
And then we've got the Woodstock thing
coming up as well.
And that's going to be great.
Did you guys go to either one in 94 or 99? Because I was at both. Were either one of you guys there?
No.
No, I was not.
I'm very curious how they're going to do the new Woodstock.
I think there is
hopefully a lot better.
I think that there's a lot of that sentiment looking at how it was done very poorly and like the bad vibes and everything. So even when you hear about it happening again, there's that. I understand people that are skeptical that look at it and go like, "Oh no, people have tried to capitalize on that name and everything before." I think that it's really being approached in a fantastic way this time.
The lineups were great.
But I preferred
the mud over the Air Force Base.
Yeah, of course. I think that the approach right out of the gate has been one where they're trying to really legitimately do it. And so my hopes are really high, and everyone that I've interfaced with, it leads me to think that it's going to be a really, really great festival.
I love those festivals because you always get exposed to artists that you never would have kind of gone to see, but because they were there too, that you check them out and you go, oh, okay, yeah, no, this is really cool.
It is cool. We do a lot of touring and festivals in Europe, and then in throughout Europe, it's like that.
Yeah.
They have been doing that for years. It's always been like that. We'll be on a festival with a pop artist and then a really heavy metal artist, and then we'll be on it too, and it's like that all day. It is more rare over here, right? It's kind of you get one kind of thing happening.
Yeah, like Perry Farrell really nailed down Lollapalooza in Chicago, and he's done a really good job with that. And I think some of the other festivals are slowly starting to figure it out in the United States, but Europe with those giant festivals, I mean, it's just crazy. I've always wanted to go. Last summer, I went and saw Judas Priest in Romania. Awesome. And it was a whole other level of fandom and heavy metal worship, and I was like, oh my God, is this what the bands are always talking about?
Isn't that where all the vampires are from?
That's why I went there. I went to Bron Castle.
There you go.
It was so awesome.
We still haven't toured there.
Romania?
There's a lot of rock fans in Romania.
Yeah, we've hit Romania.
How do you not know you've been in a country or
to
not?
To Scott's defense.
We've been to a lot.
To Scott's defense, there have been so many countries over these years of touring. We tour a lot. Talking about Judas Priest
and I don't think we've been to Romania.
you guys can't decide.
Cowbell or woodblock?
You can't decide yes or no on Romania. Do you guys even talk?
I believe we've at least traveled through there. You were talking about Judas Priest. Little known fact, our first European tour ever years ago was supporting Judas Priest.
And it was a UK only tour?
That was UK, and then we split off to Europe from there.
Rob Halford's just got that thing.
Oh yeah,
you get in a room with him, the man has a presence. Yeah,
absolutely.
And he's a really good dude. He's a cool guy. He took time. When we were hanging out, this is like we're in a van. We're very poor. We're not making any money.
It's all the money on mustache wax.
That's all we got money for in the budget. We're out back hanging out, and back then having smokes and drinking or whatever, and basically just slumming it. He'd come out and pep talk us and tell us, it's good what you're doing. I see what you're doing, and that's exactly what we did. And he was aware that we were a different kind of band, not like a heavy metal band like them, like a much more blues-based, soul-based rock band. And he gave us a good vote of confidence and a good vibe that we were doing the right thing to keep on keeping on and that he liked it.
To get a leg up like that from someone so legendary, for him to take his time and go out of his way to give a young band a pep talk like that. I mean, that just says so much. It says so much.
And he still sounds good.
Oh, of course.
As a singer, mm-hmm. I can only imagine the pressure to protect your voice for that long. And he's been doing it a long time and still sounds really good.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think it's rough what's going on with their guitar players if you're like an original lineup guy. But I do want to just say Richie's a friend and he kills up there. He does such a great job. So if someone's going to step in and take over, he's doing a good job.
Yeah. They were fantastic in Romania. I mean, they were like grandfathers with their grandkids on their shoulders. Yeah. It was just a whole other vibe and it was very cool.
You know, that tour we did, you mentioned Jeff Tate earlier.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, God. Are you going to say something bad about Jeff Tate? Because
no.
I loved, that's one of
my
favorite.
No, I'm not saying
it.
This
okay.
is
no.
when this is when he was singing, you know, when there was only one Queensrÿche.
No, I'm not going to say anything bad. It's nothing
bad. It hurts my soul that there's two of them. Like that there's the band and then Jeff and they're both touring.
It's always weird.
Yeah, it's
weird. I was a fan. When I was younger, I had like Operation and all that stuff.
Yeah,
too.
Like that's
that
album is, it's one of my desert island albums. Like I love it.
But just to clarify, I wasn't going to say anything bad. Why would I do that?
I don't know.
But I will say we can all hear each other. We're all in the back. So, you know, they were on the bill too. And Jeff would warm up. He would warm up. But you know how warming up is weird for singers because there are these mighty creatures on stage, but they're, you know, like we hear Hetfield and some kind of monster warming up. And it's like, mommy, 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 you know? And it's
yeah, all the vocal warm-ups.
It's always funny when they're warming up.
Yeah.
You
know?
Hearing Jeff back there.
His warm up is just doing his thing. So he's like, let me see if I can get it.
Do it.
And he's just doing this all before the show.
Like and he sounds incredible.
Incredible, but it's just so, like, he could make a DVD, the Jeff Tate warm-up DVD. It's just his sound of his voice going through the register.
And the warm down.
And then he warms down. He's the only singer we've toured with that after the show, he's, like, in the showers, and he's like, they just played a full set, and he's, again, you know.
I want that as the ringtone on my phone. I want to be in line at the supermarket and have someone call me and have it be Jeff Tate bellowing out of my phone.
That's where he's going to make all of his bread.
He has such a voice. He's got such a voice the way he uses his instrument. It doesn't surprise me at all that he takes such great care of it.
Yeah. And as a singer, like we said, like being out on the road, touring the way that you guys do, you have to really baby it. And we ask a lot of the bands when they come in because they talk about the vocal coaching and all the things because you've learned over the years that if you don't protect it, your career is not going
to
last.
You should say that again to Jay.
I travel with two different vocal coaches with me, you know, while we're out on the road, and they're called Cigarettes and Whiskey.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
He's not kidding.
I know he's not kidding.
We all look on in fear. Oh, no, dude, don't do that.
No, it's just the sound of the band being based on your vocal cords, dude. Have another bourbon. Wash it down with a Camel. It's fine.
That's right.
You've started warming up, though.
Yeah.
This album is pretty intense vocally.
It is vocally very demanding. I really painted myself into a corner, and I knew that's what I was doing with the writing. But I just figured, well, you know, get on the road and just adapt.
Yeah.
And but those things, you know, cigarettes.
Double whiskey. Double whiskey, double cigarettes.
Yeah, exactly. No, but those things are also tempered out with, you got to get a lot of sleep. And I like to go running every day, get a lot of exercise, you know, breathing and all of that's one of the best things for the voice.
Well, I'm getting blasted with texts. There's a debate on the text line right now whether I should play Judas Priest or Queensrÿche now that we're going to go. Because you guys got to get to Royale.
Or, you know, you could feel free to just play another Rival Sun song.
Another Rival Sun song.
Yeah, we're just going to play the whole album. Or you guys could play another one. Lob to you, Jay.
Oh, you know, unfortunately, we got to get going.
No! See how that happens. All right. Well, I'm going to leave with some Judas Priest because you guys had
some Priest.
Yeah,
we
some
owe them.
Great Definitely. Things about Rob Halford. Thank you guys so much, Jay and Scott from Rival Sons. Will you guys please come back and play again? Because everybody's freaking out about
you
about
ask,
you guys
we
playing.
Come. We'll play a couple next time.
And right, maybe next time we can answer the woodblock.
The cowbell question?
Situation.
We'll bring Miley in for a minute.
Yeah, can you do that for me?
He'll come in and go, cowbell, and we'll go buy Miley things.
I've got a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell.
There you go.
Mistress Carrie, weekdays 10 to 3 on WAAF. Podcasts are always online and on your schedule at WAAF.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.